This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Shanning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Thursday the 31st of October. And do you know what? Happy Halloween, guys.
Yes, happy Halloween.
I guess, yeah.
Julian, what do you mean you guess?
What is this Halloween thing? I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure, but anyway, it's just a good excuse to dress up and eat some candy.
Ah, okay.
I just thought about simplistically.
Very anti-lazy.
So, well, I mean, you can dress up in a lazy manner as well. I mean, you've told us stories of previous Halloween costumes, Julian.
Come as myself, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing this year.
Since I'm a ghoul of some sort.
You should come as doom and gloom.
How does one dress up as that?
I'm sure there's something on
maybe
Instagram.
Maybe in a Uniqlo t-shirt and khakis.
That's your doom and gloom.
He's the new Nostradamus, predictor of the apocalypse.
Well, maybe we should talk about this at 6 a.m. Why should we celebrate something that has got nothing to do with our own culture?
It's really just an excuse for a party, I think.
Exactly. I mean, you know what? Nurul is actually doing that because she's questioning. Parliament being a place of one of the most iconic symbols of our sovereignty. Mm. You know, would you vote to wear something that's from the Western culture, like a suit or batik?
Okay, interesting. Yeah. I'm quite a big fan of batik, although I confess I don't wear it so much.
You wouldn't wear that to Halloween, though.
No, that's not kind of a Halloween costume,
really.
Is it? No. And then later on, I'll be talking about paper. You know, it's been around since 105 AD. And you would think it's not very popular now with, you know, e-books and computers. But guess what? It's coming back.
Solely fueled by Wang Xiaoning's use of the printer.
Yes.
She is the sole cause.
Absolutely. The only person keeping paper in fashion. We are also going to be talking about all those little small tasks that you can't help but want to outsource to other people, like breaking in your shoes, because that's something that apparently over in the UK, Queen Elizabeth II does. She has someone to break in her shoes for her. And if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. But first, here's some music. It's Because the Night by Patti Smith, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Shout to the Top by The Style Council, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Julian and Shanning. Now, we all have those tiny tasks that we hate doing, but, you know, realistically, they're just a part of life, right? And but it's one of them is breaking in that new pair of shoes. But it turns out, you know, if you have enough money or enough status, I guess, like the Queen over in England, the Queen of England, Elizabeth II has someone break in her shoes for her before she's able to wear them. And The Guardian did a bit of a quick survey of a number of people, asking them what are the kinds of small tasks that they would outsource to other people if they only had the chance, right? And it's quite a fun list. So you've got things like people saying, I would love to outsource for someone to clean the dirt out from under my fingernails with a cocktail stick. people...
That's so gross, sorry. Yuck.
I mean, it's true. It's a bit of a pain, right? And other people are saying, you know, I'd love for someone else to just do my hair every day.
Yes, please. Because every woman will tell you their hair is a pain, right? And they can never get it right. As good as a professional hairdresser. So please take this away from me, yes. Mm. I wish, you know, I'll wake up in the morning and there's a fairy next to me and he's like, he or she's like, blow dry my hair to perfection and then I'm off to work. That would be my dream.
Absolutely.
I don't know whether I want to necessarily outsource any small task. I'm thinking washing dishes and washing my clothes, but that's already outsourced to the machines, right? So I'm set. But why would you want to outsource? I know it's a fun question, but I think people should do all these small tasks.
Yeah, but this is your wish list, Julian. There must be something that you dislike doing at home, or even if it's not at home, like let's say pumping petrol. Do you like doing that? Is that a joy?
I don't mind it, actually. It's not a joy, but I don't mind.
So Mr. Doom and Gloom doesn't really have anything he dislikes doing then?
No, I think people should... People should take the time to do all these small things because we're not the Queen of England, right?
Of course, darling, of course.
No, we're definitely not. But I mean, at the same time, there are always these little tasks that you can't help but think as you're doing them, oh my God, my time would be so much better spent if I was able to do other things. And one of those would be, would be laundry, because I, even though, you know, I have a washing machine and that does the majority of the laundry for me. We didn't have a dryer. So I would have to take the laundry out and hang them out, you know, on those. We have these really tall racks from the ceiling in my house. And that takes a long time. It's quite a pain. So I would always, that's like the number one chore that I hate doing in the house.
And even if you had a dryer, the washing, the clothes instruction, you know, you can't put all the clothes into the dryer.
I used to when I was in university. I just kind of just went for it because I couldn't be bothered to do two loads.
Shrinkage, perhaps.
No, never had any shrinkage. Don't know what you're talking about.
Well, my pet peeve would be, or if I could outsource it, I would send someone to do all the running to the government departments. I'm sorry, but I hate it. Like whether it's to get a new driving license, a new passport, apply for anything, visa. I mean, it's not just government departments, like any visa. Mm. I dread doing it. I kind of put it off to the last moment, which is never great. Yeah. I always feel like I don't know what to expect. Did I bring all the documents? Ayo, you know, do I have to come back? That kind of headache. So that's something
that
I wish
sense.
I could just outsource it all.
Yeah. Maybe,
blink, it's
maybe
all done.
That is something that I would agree with. And maybe there's a business model for the new government, right? Not so new anymore. But they could make it more efficient and they could sort of automate a lot of things. But that would kill off a lot of jobs within the government as well. But hey, there's this other thing that it just came up to my mind about outsourcing, right? You know, those really slow escalators into the shopping malls.
Oh, those like, where you can bring the trolley
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, the flat ones.
Yeah, and the walkalators.
Walkalators, right? Why do people like outsource their walking to that thing? I mean, it's so slow. I can never understand why able-bodied young people would stand on that thing and not walk. Because you would, you know, when you get old and you can't, you're not mobile anymore, you would crave for the time when you could actually walk on that walker later.
It's just saving effort, I guess. Because, and this is speaking
why?
as the person who will take a lift up one floor. Okay, I am that person.
There's four alphabets. It's L-A-Z-Y.
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't think about it too hard, Juliet.
This is what the story is about, right? It's laziness.
Yeah. So yeah, they've taken the walking out of that, you know, that list that they don't want to do.
Absolutely. Well, do tell us what you think. What are some of these small tasks that you would love to outsource? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you and then some music, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was New Light by John Mayer, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now, paper is one of those things that I think a lot of people are very conflicted over when it comes to talking about sustainability and reducing your carbon footprint. But it appears that paper is still seen as a more sustainable alternative to single-use plastics, and it actually may be making a comeback, at least according to the BBC.
Well, I love paper, as you guys know. I'm old school. I'm guilty of printing everything that I need, especially for all my prep work for the grills. I don't know how to read from a computer. I find it very confusing, and then I get lost. Like, did I read this column already? Do I have to go back again? And what if I want to write a note by the side? What do I do? How do I do it? And I can't have that joy of that highlighting, which I love to do. So, sorry, guys.
You can highlight in a PDF.
It's not the same. Previous. It doesn't have that same satisfaction. And I somehow don't seem to retain the information so well. So, it's paper for me. And I still buy books, by the way. I'm not a big fan of, what do you call it, those e-books. No.
E-readers.
E-readers. Yeah.
I think everything that you said is sentimental, right? If you have sentimental reasons, that would be the reason you want paper, because all those things, all those problems that you mentioned...
My problems.
...can be solved. I mean, you can already do that with e-paper. You don't have to go to paper to do that highlighting and so on.
No, but I find the thinking process somehow with the pen and
yes,
the paper, there
yes.
is a bit of a difference versus a computer.
More tactile.
Yeah, so for me, that's something I'm not willing to give up. And I know maybe I should definitely print less.
But maybe it's a training thing, right? Because
yeah.
this is something that, you know, pen and paper was what you were used to from schooling up until the start of your career, right? Whereas maybe now in the digital age, when you've got children using computers in their daily lives and, you know, in schools, some of them, they will become more used to working on a screen online versus an actual physical paper.
Yeah, to them, it's like almost the norm, right? There's no, like, they grew up with the iPad. They grew up with the notebook. For me, no. Of course, in my day, it was just an exercise book with some pencils, and then off we went to school.
So just a note on this long ago classroom practice, right? Something very funny happened because I tried to use the voice to text on a few things. I experimented with it, like, for example, for my journal and for my blog, also for potentially, you know, some of the stuff that we say on air, I wanted to, like, just voice to text it first into a Word document or something. Mm-hmm. But there is something about what you said, Xiaoning, in the sense that when you write it, because your mind doesn't think as fast as you sort of try to automate it onto a Word document, right? Mm. And writing actually brings out your thoughts a lot better than, say, voice to texting it. Because while you're thinking about the speech, it sort of bungles it all up if you try to voice text. And then your idea about practice, right? The lack of practice. Like, should you actually go there? Should you actually train yourself to do this rather than, you know, just stick to what you're comfortable with?
I think should is not really in the equation anymore, actually, Julian. I think it's just happening because this was something that I discovered in university, because once I went to university, I was typing a lot, you know, writing 3,000 word essays on my computer. And I found that actually when I tried, if I forgot my computer at home and I tried to do it in long form, it was a lot more difficult for me to translate my thoughts onto a pen and paper.
Long form meaning you're typing it out? Or
means I was writing it out physically.
Oh, the whole essay.
Yeah, the whole essay. I actually found that a lot more difficult than,
oh, yeah, of course,
than word processing. Because when you have a computer in front of you, you're basically typing out, it's like stream of thought, right?
Mm.
Especially if your typing can keep up with it.
Yeah, but would you then go on to the next level of technology, you know, in this whole discarding the paper spectrum, right, to go even one step higher and not typing at all? It means everything comes from your mind to the e-document through your voice. Would you be able to do that, or would it take some practice?
I think it would take some practice, but I would definitely try it to see what was the difference in terms of workflow. But at the end of the day, there's also the question of sustainability, because, you know, just taking books versus e-readers, which is the example that you gave, Xiaoning, and looking at the carbon footprints of both, you kind of wonder which one would actually be the more sustainable, because a digital e-reader does emit something like 170 kilos of carbon mm-hmm. emissions,
yep,
to produce one, versus the 1 kilo odd that it would take to produce a 500 gram book. So, you know, you wonder which would be more sustainable in the long run.
Coupled with the fact that you're going to change your Kindle every few years, right?
And yeah, it's not one
that, yeah,
for the rest,
yeah,
of your life.
Exactly.
And it might end up in some landfill. Although mm-hmm. there are parts that you probably can recycle, but, you know, let's face it, in Malaysia, recycling all these gadgets isn't always so easy.
And a lot of paper is sustainable today.
Yeah, there are trees
recycled paper.
Yeah, and trees are grown specifically just for paper, like almost like a cash crop, right? But yeah, I'm sorry, guys, I still love my paper. There's nothing quite like putting pen to paper and putting your thoughts down.
All right, well, do let us know what you think. Is a paper once again the new cash crop? You can WhatsApp us at 01878988999 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up to the 6:30 news now, though, and here to take you there is Flowers in the Window by Travis at BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Other Side by Aerosmith, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Now, there has been a call from PKR lawmaker Nurul Izzah Anwar to allow male lawmakers in Parliament to wear batik in order to support the local batik industry, because Nurul Izzah has said that one of the barriers to entry for people to buy Malaysian batik is its price, specifically that it is often too expensive for everyday consumption. So she's saying that Malaysian lawmakers wearing batik or being allowed to wear batik will raise the image of it and maybe even serve to drive down price a little bit.
Yeah, actually, that's true. There's a lot of cost that's associated with wearing a suit. I mean, you got to dry clean it, and if you wore it to death, things would start breaking apart, in which case you would either have to mend it or make new suits, which would not be cheap. But batik, I think there are some quite expensive batiks, right?
Yeah,
really
for
nice
sure.
ones. Yeah, but you can wear that forever, I think.
I mean, firstly, if you choose silk, then of course it's expensive. And some batik is all hand-printed, right? It's done manually, piece by piece, right? So, yeah, of course, there's labor involved. And for me, I think the batik makes absolute sense because we are a tropical country. Why do we have to walk around in suits? It's almost like a leftover colonial past legacy kind of thing. I think
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Indonesia, right? Their prime minister goes everywhere in a batik shirt, and sometimes he just wears a short sleeve one, which makes a lot of sense because it's so hot, right?
Yeah, in Philippines they wear their national costume as well.
Yeah, so yeah, mm-hmm. I think what she's recommending is a good idea, and I also think that batik. The vision of it or what impression we have of it tends to be a bit old-fashioned. But out there now in KL, there's a lot of interesting new batik designers which have kind of modernized the look. So my MP for Pantai, he wears a lot of batik short sleeve and I think it's super cool. And I think he wears it from Captain Batik, which I've seen. And, you know, so they make short sleeve versions.
Branding.
You know, so it's kind of like bringing something traditional and old but kind of upping it up. And that's, to me, super cool.
Do you draw the line at sarongs? Because that's something that's local as well.
Yeah, I have worn a sarong.
No,
but
I mean
like a
kabaya.
No, I mean, if you
dress... For male MPs.
For male MPs. Okay, that I'm not so sure, I have to say. But for ladies, you could wear the kabaya with a sarong easily, you know, as a skirt.
Yeah, I think this is specifically for male parliamentarians, this call, because I took a look at the existing parliament dress codes and there aren't actually... For women, it's a little bit easier. There are not so many restrictions on, you know, colours that you can wear. Because for male parliamentarians, they specifically have to wear a dark coloured long slacks, you know, a lounge suit and a tie, a long sleeve shirt with a tie. Actually, according to this, for visitors, you can wear long sleeved batik, but I don't know whether that's different for actual parliamentarians. And of course, the baju melayu is also allowed as part of the dress code for parliament.
Yeah, I think it would probably save some on the air conditioning costs as well, because right now it's very cold and then you're forced to wear a suit. It becomes a vicious circle, right? But if you started wearing something that's thinner, like a batik, then you can turn up the temperature a little bit and then save on air conditioning costs.
Yeah, I think the ultimate thing, though, is what you said here, Shaning, which is bringing this Malaysian batik into a more modern sort of idea of it. Because that's one of the things that you see a lot of Indonesian batik being modernized and being popularized amongst the Indonesian public. And the fact that, you know, the cabinet lineup, you know, the new cabinet that was announced, most of them were wearing batik shirts. It really puts Indonesian batik at the forefront of the media and the public image. Whereas in Malaysia, that's not so much the case. You know, batik is accepted as a formal alternative to a suit, but in actual parliament or in a lot of government events, you don't see them as often,
and you don't see them on the street. Let's be honest, it's not that common, right? Although it should be.
This is just on the side, right? Sorry if I'm going off topic on this, but Nurul Izzah, I wonder if this is a precursor to a comeback on hearing more from her, because she kind of quit the scene a while back because she disagreed with what was going on. And I think that she's a very idealistic young person, and I would love to hear more from her, what she has to say about what's going on in the nation. After all, she is a voted representative of the people, and you know, you want to hear more from her.
Yeah, for sure. The future of Malaysia, a voice of Malaysia, a woman voice, by the way.
Indeed, and it'll be interesting to see what she does next as well. Do let us know what you think, though. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at what's been said in the papers. So be sure to stay tuned here for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Baby I Love You by Aretha Franklin, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps. What have we got?
I've got this very cute one from Radim Ikram. He says, for tasks that he would like to outsource, it would be to cut my daily prescription medicine into half. It's kind of cute what people really dislike doing.
Actually, you know what? My grandfather also used to hate doing this, and he did manage to outsource this pill cutting duty. And do you know who he outsourced it to?
The grandchildren.
Absolutely. He made, well, he didn't make me do it. He suggested that I do it. And I found it really fun. So that was quite successful outsourcing on his part.
I outsource tons of stuff to my nieces. All the arts and craft, whatever I don't like to do, I kind of like bribe them. Can you go and do
it's
this?
It's like child labor.
It is. I love it.
It's convincing the children to do by telling them that it's their idea, basically.
Yeah, and then incentivizing them later a little bit.
Magdalene also says, morning folks, would be nice to be able to outsource the government so that it's efficient and no nonsense in politics is not allowed.
Yeah, that's very dangerous. Be careful what you ask for, right? In fact, technically, all governments are outsourced institutions.
Why do you say that?
Because you're not doing the government yourself. You're outsourcing it to MPs and your representatives to do the task of managing your country for you. And depending on whether you're, to take American terms, whether you're on the Democrat side or the Republican side, the Republicans want as small a government as possible and outsource the management of certain services to privatized entities, right? Whereas the Democrats want to do it themselves and therefore believe in the idea of big governments, technically speaking.
Well, the good thing is we can choose every 5 years how to outsource and who to outsource.
Or less than 5 years if they decide to call a snap.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, and thanks very much for your messages. We're also taking a look this morning at what's been said in the newspapers today. The Malaysian Reserve has gone with flaws in Mara Digital Mall from its conception as its headline, because there was some news earlier this week that two Mara Digital Malls, I think it was Kuantan and one, was it in Johor Bahru, had ceased
operation. It was just basically there was no business, right?
Yeah.
So there were questions about whether it was well thought out in the first place, whether it makes sense, because let's face it, a lot of us buy all our IT requirements online nowadays. Mm-hmm. So even the likes of your Lau Yat Plaza, which is like the center of all IT shopping, you don't see the same number of crowds that you do anymore. I mean, that's the fact of life.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether it's a boomy kind of business model or a normal business model. Pricing will lead people, right? It's about what hits your pockets and your wallets.
Pricing and convenience, because you know you can just buy it online and you know it's delivered to your house in a few days' time. Anyway, in terms of the papers, the Straits Times, the headline is Corporate Malaysia should look to the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030 as an ideal to be upheld in all aspects. And this is on the back of yesterday's PNB Corporate Summit, where you know all the captains of the industry turned up. So there was quite a lot of discussion on GLC and GLICs being fueling the nation's growth, but yet how much should they participate in the economy?
One yay for Team Malaysia, I guess. And from Sina Harian, they lead with Wijik Singh being the Barisan National candidate. This is after Pakatan Harapan forwarded Carmine Sardini as the candidate for the Tanjung PI election. And Metro Harian also has an interesting story about some Malaysian Muslim children in Norway last year when they complained about their fasting and also being allegedly sort of beaten, dipukul, right? Mm. Beaten at home in Norway, a family residing in Norway now placed in the hands of an adopted family who are not Muslims.
Interesting choice by the Metro there. Now, the Star has gone with Malaysia may ask Singapore for 6 more months to decide on RTS project, because today was apparently supposed to be the day that Malaysia completed its review of the 4 billion ringgit rapid transit system link connecting Singapore to areas like the CIQ complex in Johor Bahru. But I guess that's not really going to happen. So it looks like another extension is going to be requested.
This project is never going to take off. For me, what's interesting is actually embedded in page 12 of the Straits Times, where Kampung Bahru folk have master plan fatigue. I think because there's been ding-donging on this Kampung Bahru issue, and now we have 850 ringgit on the table plus 150 in a special SPV. I think that, you know, from this article, it seems the community there just have had enough. You know, this has been going on for so long. So for some of them, I think they want a resolution as soon as possible.
It's definitely a case of Bahru zit or not. Baruzit. Okay, bad joke.
That took me a while there. I think Brexit, Baruzit, is it? Was that supposed to be it?
Yes, that was my intention.
Okay.
But it tanked.
Well, the Edge Financial Daily has also gone with Jolo reaches deal with DOJ, and that's something we're going to be talking about later on in the 7 o'clock hour, because that's what's coming up now. We have the news first, followed by the business end of the morning run. So here to take you into the news is The Wire by Haim, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.